birds on that.
Oh, mate, hey, what great. A great way to start.
Here we go. I'll undo his back.
Yeah, I'll fucking fit birds on there.
What's it called, Bob?
Facing the Sun. It's brilliant.
No. Is and that not what they sell hotels? Not sell hotels, they sell houses.
Yeah, abroad. Like A Place in the Sun, normally.
Oh, I think I've seen a couple of episodes, Dan, like years ago.
Oh, mate, it's so good. I'll tell you what, I'd rather do a podcast about that than fucking football.
Well,
right
I bet
now,
you fucking would. I bet you fucking would, because you're an embarrassment.
Yeah.
Who loses to Southampton?
Well, we didn't lose, but... So,
might as well have, mate.
Idiot.
Did you not lose? No. I thought you lost.
No, oh, might as well have done. Yeah.
Might as well have.
Yeah. Right, anyway, if you hadn't noticed already, Tom's back, has had another samosa. Welcome back, Tom.
Bye, boys. Thanks for having me again.
You're welcome.
Hello, Mum.
Should we? I haven't actually noted down anything, so we're going to wing it. Who should we start off with? Do we put it down to a group vote?
West Ham.
It's got to be West Ham, isn't
it? West Ham!
All right, we'll start off with Spurs first then. No, we'll start off with West Ham. Fucking, what an absolute shower of shit that was.
You know it's going to be good because it's literally the first word. Fucking.
It was just so bad. Like, it was everything about it. It's slow paced. And the thing that winds me up is I get that it's, you know, towards the end of the season, we ain't really got any, well, we definitely ain't got anything to play for other than staying alive. but, like, just at least show a little bit of passion. I've been saying it all season, to be honest. Like, this group of players that we've got at the moment, there's barely any passion in there at all, with the exception of a couple. Like, it just, it's fucking embarrassing. And to play against Southampton, they were the fucking better team. They should have won.
Yeah, they had more shots.
That means everything, doesn't it? Fuck off, Mitchell, you fucking Chelsea prick.
Wow. That's outrageous.
I didn't mean it. I'm still angry for the weekend.
This is what Bobby, if you did.
absolute embarrassment. Like, I don't know what they're playing at. And then fucking gets the last 10 minutes or whatever, and we're pretty much holding on anyway to a team that are probably, well, they're up there with the worst team that's ever been in the Premier League. I think they only have one Derby County in it. Are they joint points on them at the moment?
Yeah, joint points now. They equal Derby
against
West Ham, yeah.
Yeah, well, fucking what a great accolade. I'll put that down on fucking our CV this season. And 80th minute, who do we bring on? Fucking Mavropanos.
You love that guy.
Mavropanos, what the fuck is he playing at? Like, it's just, I don't know, I'm speechless at the moment. And this is what I fucking meant when earlier on in the season, when we were talking about Lopetegui being out and all of this other shit, you run that risk of getting to this point in the season and we're absolutely no better off. In fact, we're worse off. We're 17th in the league now rather than 14th when Lopetegui left. Like, it's stupid. Like, yes, I agree that maybe Lopetegui wasn't the man for the job, but we probably should have just gave him to the rest of the season because, if anything, it's got worse. Right. Fuck me.
They put a graphic up on the sports channel. I'm not sure if we can mention it, but that's the one. It said it was something like it had all the stats for West Ham and since Lopetegui when he was there and since Potter's taken over, and it was like everything was worse apart from defensive stuff. So it was like, you know, shots on goal, shots on target, goals scored, XG, all these kinds of stuff, but everything defensive was better, but results were worse.
Yeah.
Even worse, but I mean, it is It is a shame. It's a terrible shame that the bottom three are so bad, because you could have literally any other year we would have Tottenham, West Ham, Man United in a relegation
battle. Oh, it would have been glorious.
Yeah.
And my prediction would have been right.
It's been stolen from us. They can still go down, Mitch.
I think we'd have to lose. We'd have to lose every game, and Ipswich would have to win every one, wouldn't they?
It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'm not betting against us losing every game. I would bet against Ipswich winning every game. That's the only thing.
Have they got to play West Ham?
No, I don't think so.
Lucky for you.
Yeah, no, you have. You have got to play Ipswich.
Have we?
Yeah.
Oh, no. 6-pointer, isn't it? It's terrible. Like, and it just winds me up. Like, being a West Ham fan at times, like, the fans get on my nerves, and I'm a West Ham fan, so that's saying something. Fucking, they all moaned about Moyes. They all moaned about Lopetegui, and now they're all moaning about fucking Graham Potter. And it's just like,
Moyes was the most ridiculous one. There was nothing wrong with Moyes.
At least you're forever blowing bubbles.
it's a sad state of affairs at the moment, isn't it? Really?
Oh, it's glorious. It's great to watch. Do you know, of your remaining games are 6-pointers?
Yeah, but they're not, are they? Because we're definitely not going to go down. I know you're saying it's possible, but we're definitely not.
Oh, come on, Ipswich. You got Tottenham, United, Everton, and Ipswich.
Are they really?
Yeah. What? You're going down, mate.
Yeah, but you've got to count. So let's not get into this again, because it's going to fucking wind me up again. But Ipswich would have to win pretty much every game. Like, that's not happening.
They will. And it's the last game of the season, Ipswich West Ham. You've got to go away to Ipswich, your relegation rivals, on the last day. It's written in stars. You're going down.
The Bob Hawkeye derby on the final down in the Premier League. Fucking hell. No. Look, it's gone, Luke.
I was going to say, with your fans now on the back of your manager, how long do you reckon it'll be until we start seeing it in the papers? Pressures on the manager.
I don't know. I think the club would be fucking stupid to get rid of another manager before they've at least gave him a half deep, like a summer transfer window.
I agree. As I said, I keep mentioning it, is that they need to give managers in the Premier League more time to build their squad, to have the way they want to play. And some seasons you have to take it on the chin and be like, look, we're not going to finish here. Because we're building this next season, though.
Well, he might be a manager in the Championship next season.
You know the problem. Do you know the thing that like undermines that argument, though, which is all I'm sort of with you. Like managers should, especially if, like Bob said, there's no danger of going down. They might go up a few places. No, you're going to get cut a million, but then you get one like Wolves, where they sack their manager and he's like on a 5-game win streak.
Yeah,
and that's why everyone goes, yeah, sack the manager, we'll get a new bloke in, and they all want that to happen. And you always get the one or two outliers where it does work.
Agreed.
And that's why they all do it, because they're desperate anyway.
Yeah, but I think more times than not, though, like you say, like you do get the odd one that happens, but more times than not, it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, Leicester hasn't.
Yeah,
you know, they've made it well. So Southampton and Leicester have got worse. West Ham have got worse. Man United have got worse.
Tottenham,
Tottenham ain't sack manager.
Well, not yet.
Yeah, haven't seen enough. I think they'd be stupid to get rid. I think we should have kept Lopetegui at this point, really, like until the end of the season, then got Potter or whoever in. I don't know why we rushed to make the decision. I do know, because everyone hated him, and that is the reason why. But it hasn't done us any favours. And the thing is, when do the players start fucking taking responsibility? Like, I mean, you look at that squad and you think, like, where is the other than Bowen, And Wan-Bissaka, who's been one of our best players this season, he was obviously not playing this weekend because he had a toe injury, bless him. Like, where else is the talent there, really? Like, they might add odd flashes or whatever, but it's not, actually, it's not even talent, because we have got talented players. They are just not up for it at all. They need a fucking rock out their ass, is what they need.
Do you think it's just the fact that they're like, well, we're safe, who cares? It's just a mental thing. They're on the beach, as they say. I think hard, to be honest.
Maybe, but like when you're a team like West Ham, who have really, with the squad that we've got, in my opinion, have underperformed all season, with no exceptions, really. Like, you would at least think that they'd give it some towards the end of the season, especially when you're playing against teams that are already relegated or ain't playing for anything. It's probably a prime time to show, like, you know, go out with a bit of a bang.
But no. West Ham crowd's not the most forgiving, is it, for poor, like, for when they're not putting the effort in? You'd think, you know, do we want these people on our back, you know? But
That's the thing. Is it the manager at that point? Because this was my problem with Potter when he was at Chelsea. But I've no doubt he's a decent manager, probably very tactical, good with the defence. There's nothing about him. He don't have a voice. He don't get rocket up players' arses. And this is what you're saying. These flat performances, I understand where we are at the point of the season. West Ham has got nothing to play for. But still, especially from Potter's point of view, he wants to go into that summer transfer window with a few results under his belt. But he doesn't galvanise that team. It's exactly the same what I saw with Chelsea. He's got no aura about him. He's got no voice.
But we had someone with a voice. We had some fucking Spanish lunatic running up and down the fucking touchline for, you know, well, like a good 6 months. And, yeah, I mean, he did do better, but it's... I think at some point the players got to take some responsibility, because it hasn't been just since Potter's come in that players have started, you know, just fucking around. Like, Kudus fucking winds me up. Like, he's... Like, yes, he's good at dribbling past people, but it's that whole fucking, and I keep saying it, and I know I'm probably boring, but the fucking Jeremy Doku effect of him just running aimlessly and not fucking doing anything with it. Does the same thing.
And then falls over.
Yeah, either falls over or passes it back, or is, I don't know what he's playing at the moment, but, and as for the running back and everything, that fucking, I can't believe when you see players just jogging, like, that's just rule number one, isn't it? Like, if you're playing in what's supposed to be one of the best or the best league in the world, how can you have players like that in your team? Like,
that's it. It's passion, mate. They don't have it, and the hunger. And as Tom said, it might be that they're already on holiday. You know, it's, and I'm seeing the same in Tottenham. But we'll come to Tottenham on that. But I'm seeing that a lot this season with teams like where we are in the league,
except for Wolves. Like Tom said, they got nothing to play for, and they're fucking flying at the moment.
I think they wasn't as safe as the others, and now they're on a run, aren't they? They've got like a bit of steam going, and they're up for it, and they're like, well, look how well we're playing. They're one of the informed teams in the league. Or six in a row they've won, and they're not playing Leicester and Ipswich every week. So it can be like that, you know, because they've had something to play for and now they've got a head of steam, they're just going through with it. Whereas the other teams, I mean, look at Tottenham and Man United in the cup. They're all of a sudden they're pulling out last minute wins or good away victories, and then they're just completely folding the league again. I mean, you can even say the same with Arsenal. Like last few weeks, we've had really like lackluster draws with people, and then we're putting great European performances. And I think there is, it's just, I think, some of it's psychological, mental, but you know, you would hope, wouldn't you, as a fan, especially at like a club like West Ham, that they just have the will to, you know, the last three games or so at home, just put a performance in. You know, if you've not played well all season and you've got Southampton at home, you think, right, let's fucking smash these 5-0 and just make some people happy for a week. You know,
that's it. That's the thing. Like, it's inexcusable, in my opinion. like to play with no passion, like especially if I'd even understand it a bit more if we was 10th, but when you're 17th and you're literally as close to getting relegated as, and like you say, if the other three teams weren't so bad, there's every possibility that we could have easily been in the relegation battle right now. I mean, some might argue, yous probably will, that we are, but we're not. But it's it's just, and then you've got, you know, people like Falkrug came out after and basically were saying, oh yeah, we ain't got anything to play for, basically, is what he was saying. Like, literally that. Don't fucking go out and say that.
What did you think of his comments? Because he also had a go at the other players.
Yeah.
Because I took it as I took it the other way, as what you've just said. Where
yeah, I did as well.
The one who had some passion and who had the ump that they'd lost. He's like, because I think he said, we do it all season. Once we've got the lead, we just sit back, panic, shit ourselves, sit deep, and then make mistakes, make errors. And he's going, it's not the way. He was well pissed off, wasn't he?
Yeah, I did take it in that way. Like, I took it that yeah, but to say it, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it, because it's kind of almost showing the world how fucking pathetic our club is at the moment.
But there's like a bit of disharmony.
Yeah.
In the dressing room kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's already shown from, like I was speaking about last week with Potter, saying that we're going to have a really good summer sight, like an exciting thing, and then, you know, like the owners saying, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
That was bad.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It has changed a bit, right? Like the attitude, it does make me laugh with West Ham. They seem to do it quite a lot. They get these heroes very, very quickly. You know, like I remember when he read,
Lanzini?
Not him. Who was the Piatt, yeah. He was like the best thing since sliced bread, the new Messiah and all this stuff. And then about, you know, 3 months later, he went, I want to go home, and everyone hated him. And it's like, then it's Paqueta, and it's like, oh, Paqueta's a legend, blah, blah. And now he's playing shit for you, no one likes him. Kudos was the best thing since sliced bread, and now it's like, well, he don't do nothing. I was talking at work the other day about, you know, oh, we'll get rid of Kudos. And I was like, okay, yeah, we'll get 90 million for him. No, what planet are you on? You're getting 90 million for Kudos.
I said that.
Was it you that said that as well?
Yeah.
Jesus, who's saying that?
I don't, to be honest, I didn't really mean it.
Other people are saying it. They're going, you know, the Saudis are looking at him. I thought, well, if Saudis, you might, but.
Yeah. You know, maybe they listened to the podcast and they heard my opinion on it.
That's just exchange rate, isn't it, with the Saudis? That's like 15 million here. It's like 90 million there. 90 million there.
Hello, Sheikh Al Moon.
It's ridiculous. They've made their spending for players. I get it. Different league, you know. Fucking West Ham. So the game itself, Bob.
Like, what about it? I don't really want to talk about it.
I know. You had chances in the game. You had quite a lot of chances, in fact. There's only 4 on target, but you said what we got here. You had 12 shots overall.
How many aerial
duels? 50-50 on the aerial duels. So that's to be expected, though. You've got some tall players. You drawing against them, and I saw they hit the bar. I think they hit the bar, and then they did have a chance to score, but they knocked it over as well. I didn't see many clear-cut chances for yourself, if any.
Well, they weren't. That's what I said. They were the better team, but they should have won that game. And that's bad. I think the one saving grace was Bowen's finish. I enjoyed that. But other than that, like, there was really nothing to show for it. Like, I'm lost for words at how shit we were.
I'm just looking at them stats here. I mean, even the possession, it was like 52-48. It weren't even like, you know, they've had a few chances on the break against you. It was like quite an even game against a team that's just dead and buried.
I'm pretty sure their goal scorer is a Chelsea player.
Chelsea, I know.
The Chukwu.
Yeah.
Why am I not surprised with that name?
They're everywhere. What are you trying to say?
Have you looked at your 100 players that you've got? I think you've got you've got to have quite a few English players because you've got to meet the.
He's English.
No, he's French. Fucking,
there was no way he was English for that name.
He was born in London.
Right, anyway, let's move away from West Ham because it's getting
really young. I'm a West Ham fan, Luke. Comments on that.
It's Bob. Bob, you know what I mean? I spent so much time with him on his podcast.
I have spread no casual racism. Thank you very much.
No, that wasn't casual racism. That was an observation. That was right?
No, that was the definition of casual. Cashew nuts. Who knows? We're moving on from West Ham. I don't want to hear any other fucking questions unless anyone's got any.
We go.
No.
Oh dear.
No.
All right.
Good.
Right, we'll move on to Spurs then.
Well, what can I say about Tottenham? Season's over. It's been over for a while. I don't know statistically we can finish in the top six.
This guy.
I mean, do we blame injuries?
You can't blame any fucking injuries now, mate. What else? I just want to say thank you for backing up the fact what I said at the start of the season was correct.
No, I think you were shit when you had your players.
You're shit now you've got them back.
Don't just hype on that. You know what I meant. You knew what I meant. The beginning of the season, different story. You know, but you're half right. Then should I say? I should have said last week. You're half right. But is that Tom? Is that it's I think we look at it as a club. Like, look at, okay, let's see it. Like next season, from Arsenal's perspective and Tottenham's perspective, Chelsea's perspective, though, and Man United's perspective, you expect those clubs, just of what they are, you know, the stadium, the facilities, the amount of money they've put into the club as well for the players that they've spent compared to, we're now comparing this to like other teams in the league. Yeah. Next season, you expect those teams to be fighting for the league or at least top four. Yeah, with the exception of Arsenal, maybe exception of obviously for the league or where they're at now. But those expectations are there now, aren't they, for those clubs? Because you've set those narrow expectations for the last 2 to 3 seasons. So next season for Arsenal, it is the only thing you guys should be going for is that league, not top four. Yeah, Chelsea should be going for top four. Man United, from their finishing this season, but you expect their club, how big they are, to be going for top four at least.
No, Chelsea have got a young squad though, mate.
It doesn't matter for them. We're talking about the money they've spent for their teams and what their club expectations are.
Money doesn't raise your age.
It's just club expectations here. But you're looking at the players, you're looking at the money they've spent. You expect them to be competing. That's why they've spent that sort of money on those players, because they should be worth the money for them. So next season,
you'll finish this team.
They start. Let's see those expectations. But then as the season goes on, you start seeing the results. Like you start seeing the Nottingham Forests, the Newcastles, the Brightons. Brighton are one of those teams that they just hover about, don't they, Brighton? They just beat teams, but they don't never get up there to the top four. But this season for Tottenham, you would have looked at it, and at the start of the season, we looked really good. We were banging in like highest goal scoring. We were this. We looked good defensively. We just weren't putting it back in. We weren't putting it back in the net. It's true. We weren't putting it back in the net. We're still the third highest scoring team in the Premier League. I think we're joint, same as Arsenal in terms of goals. It's mental.
I saw the teams you're around in the league. I was talking to my dad the other day, and he said, "Look at Tottenham's goal difference. He said they've got plus 11. It's more than Villa." And then everyone around you is like minus 10. You know, it's mental.
Yeah, but that's Tottenham, isn't it? That's a typical Tottenham thing. It's a typical Tottenham stat for Tottenham. You know, it could be like the only dog to ever score in a Premier League game. It would be against Tottenham. It would just be some stat. It happens to Tottenham. The player has come back from injury for the last 10 years, been in a coma, plays his first game, scores against Tottenham. It's typical Tottenham. It is Tottenham. And the way that we've played this season, yeah, you could blame some of it for injuries, which people can agree on. We had a lot of like first team players are out. But as you've mentioned, Tom, as Clive mentioned, but these players are back now. They're back. There's no excuse now. There's no hiding. Ange can't hide now behind the injuries.
No.
I know players need a bit of game time still to get that consistency, but these are Premier League players. You know, I expect them, like after at least a game and a half, to be back to fitness, because they do train like 3-4 times a week. They have gym work. They have physios rubbing them up and down. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Well, Ricardo looks like he's come back up with different arms on him.
Yeah, it's like Flapianski, isn't it, in goal with him.
If you're going to be a top six squad, though, like even with those injuries that you had, like you would expect your backup players to play better than what they did during that period, wouldn't you?
I think you've got to look at that as a whole and as a 50-50 in that. The players that came in, we were playing like the 18, 19-year-olds that have never played in the Premier League. Like the
Bergvall. Oh, you're talking about age now, yeah?
You know, we Bergvall, Archie Gray playing every single position. Jed Spence, first time in the Premier League. I know he's 24, but he's still his first time in the Premier League. But these players that haven't been playing or playing out of position or playing different positions in the game as well, he had to make do with what he had. Now, that's a Tottenham problem.
I would say, them players you mentioned, to be fair, they have probably been the better players in that run.
It's mental, isn't it?
Which is where you think, well, what does it matter if these players have been the better ones? I mean, Lewis Skelly's 18 and he ain't played anything and he looks like a world beater.
He looks quality. And the same for Bergvall for us. Like, the guy's phenomenal.
Jed Spence, he had a bad game the other day, but from what you said, and I watched him a few weeks back, he looks good. And you think, well, why is he not playing from the start? So it's that argument, you know, well, these young players wouldn't be there, but they have been there and they have probably been the best performing players out of that whole team. So you think, well, what are the others doing?
Exactly that. And that's a strange thing about it. Like, we got to where we were in the Europa League because of those youngsters.
Mm.
You know, Dragosin, a youngster as well. He looks fucking 50. Brick shit ass as well. But like, he's young. You know, we had these players that are in there that were doing a job for us. Yeah, they're making mistakes and whatnot, but they were still putting in a shift. And that's why, and it comes back to, I think what we said earlier on is like a passion in the game for the players and players that are jogging in the game. You know, I'm seeing these youngsters that are putting in a shift, like running up and down the whole game and just putting in the work. Maybe they might not be tackling or whatnot, but they're getting in the way. They're being a nuisance. I'm not seeing that from the other players. Vicario being the goalkeeper, like flapping about, you know, not getting rid of it out of his area quick enough. I'm seeing Van de Ven's been a bit wary with his running. I get that. He's just come back from injury. He's going through a lot of physio and training and stuff to work his, I think he mentioned his body and his running. Fair enough. But you've got the centre-back, Romero, who is meant to be one of the best centre-backs in the world.
He just looks like he wants to kill people.
He wants to kill people, but he's dangerous. Like, sometimes he's too slow on the ball. He tries to play those crazy balls, and sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. I'm not seeing a team. I'm seeing individual players. I'm not seeing a full squad work together, work for each other, fight back, fight, and just instead of jogging back and not putting in a shift. I don't care if you got to get like a foul on a player, where you're like taking his ankles out or something when he's, you know, they're making a break for it, just to get a yellow card, just something. But they're not even doing that. They're just letting them run through and score. They're not using their strength. They're ball watching, as you saw from the recent game against Nottingham Forest. The Wolves game was 4 mistakes.
Yeah, I listened to the podcast from last week before I'd seen the highlights. Yeah. I was thinking, oh, he must be exaggerating, and then I watched it.
what can you do from a manager's perspective?
Yeah.
And from, like, if we was the managers, Tom, like, what could we have done in that game? Like, with 4 players making mistakes on the pitch, and as Bob was saying earlier on, when do the players take responsibility?
Yeah.
You know, when do the players in a game against Nottingham Forest, who, fair play to Nottingham Forest, they said at the beginning of the game that Spurs were going to have the premier possession, which is what we had, because Nottingham Forest have a plan. Nuno set his team up to be counter-attack football, pretty much that season that Spurs did, where we, every time, I think it was Conte, wasn't it, or Mourinho, where we just had, like, it was always counter-attack football, we defended and just went counter-attack. Everyone knew what we were going to do, but it worked. And that's what, it's working for Forest. And what did Tottenham do? Like, they just was leaky at the back again of not marking players. And then he made the subs at half time. Funny enough, he took 2 defenders off. Van der Ven and Romero and bought Danzo and Ben.
That was a strange thing. Is that a fitness thing, or is he thinking, well, this game's gone, I've got to save him for Europe, or is he they're playing that bad, I've got to take him off?
I think Van der Ven, probably fitness, probably just to keep him fit. But Romero, no, he took Romero off because he was just shocking. He was just bad. But it from two goals from the back there, not doing their job properly, two in the middle. Like, what can you do if they're not talking together, they're not playing well together? You've got to make the subs, and I'm happy with that. I'm happy because I've always said this before: if a player's playing shit, fucking take him off. Don't care if it's the 30th minute. Take the player off. We don't need a player on the pitch that's going to be shit. Those two players come on, Ben and Danzo, and they were quality at the back. Like, we looked solid, no mistakes. They kept it simple. They passed a lot quicker, played through the channels, and it worked. And then obviously they didn't have a sniff. I think they may have had a chance, but
do you think game state has changed there though? They've already got their two goals and they're happy to.
There's always that as well, isn't there? There's always that, but that was their whole game plan anyway. That's what's worked for them all season.
Yeah.
So I think a bit of both. Yeah, I think they would have had the two goals. A lot of teams have done that this season, including like Arsenal with yourselves. Is you go 1-0 up, 2-0 up, and then they just like, you know what? Let's just hold the ball a bit, you know, waste time on the throw-ons, and anyone gets fouled, we just stay down a little longer. I'm not saying it's Arsenal, I'm just saying it's all teams, by the way. I'm not just picking on them, I'm just saying that teams have been doing this. And Tottenham have just... Tottenham, mate.
We did
against Chelsea, as Mitchell mentioned last time. The last 10 minutes of the game, he knew what Chelsea were going to do. Sit back, not attack like they've been doing, and Tottenham would then attack, and we got our goal in the last 10 or so minutes. It's too late then. It's too late to start getting the balls in the box like that and making the crosses in, making the chances. Ange was like, oh, we played really well. We played our game. It's just we didn't deserve to lose that game. I'm like, yes, we did. We did deserve to lose that game because we keep making mistakes. No one's putting in an effort and they're doing it right near the end. Like, you've either got to change the way you play or you need to tell your fucking players to just go at it. Stop being pussies and just play the game. Like, get up the field. Put those long balls in it. Even if it's ugly, just keep doing it.
They
just look like they run out of ideas.
Yeah.
Like, you know that period with Arsenal when Jesus got injured and you didn't have anyone up front and Saka was out and that kind of thing? And you just kind of got round the edge of the box and you just ran out of ideas. It reminds me of what Spurs have done for quite a long time now. What are your thoughts on Richarlison, Luke?
I think he's a decent player when he's fit. I think he puts in an effort. He puts in the effort. He's good in the air. He's scored quite a few headers for us already, and he was doing that for Everton. He likes to play on the left. I think that's a bit of half truth again with that one, because I think he wants to play centre forward, but I think his best position has always been on the left. But I like him when he plays. He's not fit. He's not fit to get consistent games, and he obviously scores for Brazil because they play him as a centre forward. He tends to score goals for him. So he's obviously got the ability. It's just injured all the time.
Now you've got two centre forwards who are both injured all the time.
Exactly that. Like, I think Richarlison could get you 12 to 15 goals a season. I think if he stays fit, I'm saying if he stays fit, I think he can do that. I mean, he's already scored like 3 goals in games recently because he's been playing. He's been coming on and getting a goal. But even though it's a little bit too late in the game to make a difference, but he's coming on. He's doing the job we want him to score a goal. It's just too bad the other players are not putting in the shift. We've got players like Bergvall who's been running his socks off and his quality. Archie Gray, nowhere to be seen again. I don't know what's going on. The guy was quality and he just gets dropped because of the big names are back, but those guys are not performing. I don't get it. I don't get this system. It worked at the beginning of the season, but it could be that managers have all found him out now. They've all found out his tactic and the way that Tottenham play. And he doesn't change it, which means the teams are like, well, you know what's going to happen is we play it down the line and then their defender's going to come to us because everyone's coming to us and we do that space in the middle. And that's... next time you watch Tottenham, you'll see it. It goes to the teams play out to their defenders. You'll see the winger go across and then it goes past that winger, just before it goes past that winger, you'll see our defensive wing back will just come straight up, and you'll see like really close to him, and then players will just play around it, but then no one's following the runner afterwards, and that's where they're finding the space. I mean, I'm no football manager, but you fucking know. I mean, I've seen it all season. I'm sure these professionals will be able to see it.
Can I give my thoughts on Richarlison?
By all means, mate.
Very punchable face. very punchable face.
Yeah,
you're not going to lie. When I asked my opinion on him, that's what I was kind of hoping for, to be honest. So I'm glad someone said it. Look, if I was to ask you at this point in the season who Spurs' player of the season would be, who would you say?
Spurs' player of the season.
I know what you're going to say.
I think I know.
I don't think you do.
I think I know.
No, I'm not even going to say
Jeff Spence. Let's not say, hang on. I'm going to count
that. He said it.
Oh, no.
I'm not saying it. I'm not saying Jeff Spence.
Yeah, but we would have all said Jeff
Spence. You're going to say Clerval.
No, I was going to say Bentancur.
Who's he?
I think
he's only played about six games, isn't
he? Mate, that says it all.
That's looking at that.
Honestly, it says it all. I think he's been good. I don't think he's been amazing. He's had some really crazy injuries, but he puts in a shift. He puts, like, for me, I want to see passion all season. When you watch your teams play, and you're seeing a player run about, intercept the Declan Rice one for Arsenal, like the whole team against Real Madrid played really like. Phenomenal. They were quality. Yeah, the Arsenal team was quality, but Declan Rice stood out because he was fucking everywhere. Like that, Saka could have scored a hat trick. No one would have gave two shits about Saka because the way that Rice put that effort in, and that's what you want. You want that passion. You want that hunger. Bentancur's had that as when he's been back from injury. It could be Kulusevski. Probably could have been up there.
Yeah, he has been probably one of your best players. How would you know though, Luke, if Bentancur's only played six games?
He's played more than six,
and you don't watch them when they win. How do you know when he's playing?
you do know they haven't won many games, mate. You know that, right? 18 losses in the Premier League. I think probably to be fair, I think Spurs fans would probably say Kulusevski. I think he was our best player, and I think everyone was looking at, like, he was the only player everyone would look around and be like, Kulusevski would be getting in the form that he was at this in the season before he got injured, would have been like, look, he'd get into most teams.
Yeah, I think he would be, if you played any of the big teams and went, take a couple from this Tottenham team, I think Kulusevski would have been the first name.
I think so. Yeah. I think, again, his work rate as well, the effort he puts in, his finishing is great, his cross is great. But yeah, I think Bentancur for me, only because he's helped us. Like, Kulusevski is second to me, but obviously proper Spurs fans will be like, look, Kulusevski. But I'm giving a shout out to Bentancur for me.
Spurs fan.
Well, you could say I'm not. I mean, I don't watch them when I had to take a break, mate, before I end up fucking smashing something here because of fucking Tottenham. I think I need to hide every Tottenham thing in my room.
If you just keep watching them, I'll be very happy.
Yeah,
do you know what, Luke? I didn't really understand when you took that break, but I'm beginning to. Because I am wanting to fucking smash things up every time I watch them.
Bob, mate, it's for me. It's about, at the beginning of the season, you guys took the piss out of me when I was saying that Spurs lost, but we played well. I know it sounded moronic at the time.
He's still saying that.
But I am. I'm just saying, like, we're playing shit, though, and losing.
Well, your manager.
Oh, yeah, I know.
He said we played well.
I know.
What he's been saying, and then he went, well, you know, this is how we've been all season. He thinks you've been playing well and giving stupid goals away. I think it was Carragher. He said last night, he went, you can't lose 18 games and say, yeah, well, we had more possession and we played well, but we gave a couple of silly goals away. But you don't play well if you keep giving silly goals away every week.
Exactly.
If you do it once, if you know, you could dominate a team 80% possession and that maybe they get a penalty
or a banger or something.
Bang or a free kick or, you know, 25 yarder and you think, oh, we've been unlucky.
That's the bottom game.
18 games, you know, it's. You haven't played well, have you? You've done the same thing again and again and again and again. But you keep saying the same thing. You think he'll go, Luke?
I think a lot of the fans are saying yes.
Even if he wins the cup.
Well, this is it. This is that conundrum we've got at the moment at Tottenham, is that he could finish. We already know.
He'd be in the Champions League if you win it.
That's it. But then the argument is, do we want him managing Tottenham in the Champions League? But then if he's good in Europe, like what do you do? You know, it's not like you can have a European manager and have a Premier League manager. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's a future thing. You heard it here first. you know, but maybe. You know, it's I don't know. I think I want to keep. And I've said this before. I'm not a fan of just sacking the manager, not giving him enough time. But 18 games, and him not and being stubborn now, to the point of in the interviews, as you said, with his interview, we did not play well. We had possession, yes, but we did not play well against Nottingham Forest or against Wolves or against Ipswich or against Newcastle or Liverpool. All the other 18 teams we lost against this season, we've not played well, except for the exception of probably a couple at the beginning of the season. But like, it's frustrating to watch. I know for fans like yourselves, it'd be like, you know, seeing Tottenham foul miserably, but all the people that pay to go to the game have paid that money to go and watch Tottenham, and it's not enjoyable to the point of like, you know, we've hit the bar four times, we've put in the chance, this is amazing football, and we've just lost, as you said, with like a banger or something like that, and the team's just got a lucky break and scored. Fine, that's football. But when you turn up and you're like, oh, okay, we're going to do slow passing at the back, we're just going to get there and then we're going to pass backwards, get there again, and we might cross it, but you know what, fuck it, I'll try and do two step overs and then cross it, or get in a position where you could cross it but you shoot instead, and it's like, well, fuck this, football's not enjoyable when it's like that. I know no one enjoys football when a team loses, but at least put an effort in.
I enjoy it when your team loses.
Yeah, I know you do. And we'll come to Chelsea in a second. But
it's a bit of that sort of ultimate football conundrum where you could say, like, you've got a team like Tottenham and a manager like Postecoglou who are kind of, what's the word? They seem to have this reputation for playing really good football. But I don't necessarily see it. They can be all right sometimes, but that's the sort of idea that they have and the reputation that they have. But the results suggest otherwise. And then you go like the other end of the scale, where you had a team like West Ham under David Moyes, who were getting results. You know, for West Ham, high up the league, going on cup runs, being in Europe for like a few years in a row. But a lot of the fans were like, well, this football's shit. Yeah. So, and then you've got the thing, well, I said it to a load of people I work with, well, careful what you wish for, because you'd be down the bottom and get relegated, you know. But you don't have to watch the football every week, but you were winning. But then you've got Tottenham, and like, it's like, well, we play attractive football, yeah, but you're losing every week.
You've got to be able to
balance it and react to the state of the game in play. You know, every opponent's different. If you get a man sent off, you've got to tweak it. If you've got injuries, you've got to tweak it. You can't just be wedded to a philosophy. You know, your philosophy, every manager's philosophy should be fucking win, not let's play beautiful football. Wenger had, you know, I love Arsene Wenger. He had a philosophy for playing beautiful football and he had a reputation for it. But, you know, at the end of it, it all petered out and we never got there. He'd always come up short. You've got to be able to balance it somehow. And it's hard to do, obviously, because, you know, only a couple of clubs do it consistently.
It's not easy. There's no easy answer.
And that's where I always sort of come back to this thing, like I said, at the start of the season, you know, where are your expectations? You know, Tottenham had Nuno, and they were like, well, we're not going to sit here and be a defensive team that counter-attacks. We don't want to do that. And then you look at Forest and look where it's taken them. And then, you know, what would you give to be in their shoes now? You know, it's like, it's all hindsight, but that's football. You know, in a nutshell, really. No one's ever fucking happy unless you literally win the league every year.
No, they're not. And I think teams like, it's going to be a while, I think, before we start getting teams like Man City again that go on that for, is it four seasons in a row they won it or something now?
It starts next year, mate.
Yeah. that's an Arsenal thing every year.
Like though, Liverpool.
I think for Tottenham it's get this season out of the way. Possibly, to answer your question, I think he needs to go now, and you're hearing that from me now. I think
he's finally said it.
Well, no, I think
he needs to go now before the semi-final.
Before
the end of this podcast.
Do you know what? Yeah, I think it all depends on the first leg, Tom. I think if we lose that first leg, I think he's gone. I don't think Levy would give a shit. I think he'll let Mason take over.
It is a Tottenham thing to do.
I think she'd give him the run overall. I think just let him finish it up. Or finish the season up. I don't think sack him now. I think, like, regardless of whatever happens now, we've only got a few games left. We've got this cup. And at the end of the season, like, look, thank you very much. Get a manager in before pre-season so we can sort things out, get the team, and then have the pre-season, and then start the next year. And set expectations. Like, set expectations of not top four. Set expectations of mid-table. Top six. You know? Top six. And then we'll go from there. I think Tottenham need to start again. I think they need to start
again. You should set a target for top six, but not expectations. Not with the clubs that are there now. You've already got eight clubs.
Yeah, I guess with Newcastle.
You know what I mean? And that's without Tottenham and Man United being in it. You know?
Yeah,
that's true. Well, if you look over the last few years, West Ham came, what, sixth, seventh, eighth, whatever? You know, yeah. Brighton came sixth, something like that.
They're always about, aren't they, Brighton? Yeah.
You know, and it's... You've got all these teams... I've said it loads of times. Everyone's got money. If you give every team the same amount of money to spend, three are still going down and one's going to win the league and everyone else will be up. So
it's just buying the players, though. Like, look at Aston Villa. Marcus Rashford, we all know, is a good player. Yeah, he didn't do well. He had spouts at United, but you could still see his ability. Yeah, Asensio, what a fucking signing that is. I think Asensio's quality. That's another, but even he's on the bench. Ollie Watkins has been on the bench. Ollie Watkins can bang in like 15, 16 goals, 15, 20 goals a season. He's got that ability to.
The thing with Villa, they've got a setup though. You know, Emery got ridiculed when he was at Arsenal, you know, and he was literally the wrong man at the wrong time. And we wasn't set up for him at the time. But you can't argue his pedigree as a manager all over Europe, you know. And I think they've got Monchi in there as the director of football, he was at Sevilla, I think, and... somewhere else who's been winning European trophies. You know, you've got top level operators there coming together, working together. And so, to be fair, I mean, Postecoglou's, you know, what's he done at Celtic? You know, fucking, you could win the league there.
He could still win a trophy in his second season though. So,
do you know what, as well, I think it would suit, I think he would love it. I think he would love to win that trophy and get sacked, and he'd just be walking around going, yeah, mate, I told you, but they never gave me a chance to prove it, did they? Blah, blah. I could have taken them to the Champions League. That's my really shit Australian accent, by the way.
Yeah,
call that a knife.
I think he'd love nothing more than to actually win it and get sacked rather than win it and carry on, because I think he'd just love to sit there and go, I told you.
As we're coming to the end,
that's why you should keep.
No, he's not going to West Ham. Thank you. as we're coming to the end of the Spurs chat, I just want to say Ace is going to be so disappointed that he missed out on the Luke's and Jow coming out party, isn't he?
I'm sure he'll have a good listen to this in the week.
He will. Any other thoughts on Spurs before we move on?
Ha ha.
Mate, I can't wait to bottle again next season.
Moving on then, we'll go to Arsenal next.
Hey. What's to say? I think football's great. What a time to be enjoying watching football. What a time, eh?
Yeah, moving on then to Chelsea. No.
Is it the Real Madrid game we're talking about?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, we've had enough of that. Yeah, Ipswich, please.
Ipswich. It was actually a really good performance from Arsenal, the Arsenal. you've missed me.
Do you know what? I got told the other day that I really, really hate Arsenal. Yeah. And this is why. This is why. And people are like, oh, he's really aggressive against Arsenal. He really hates them. I'm like, well, yeah, well, because obviously we're rivals, yeah. But fuck media fans. The Arsenal. God.
They called the Arsenal.
God, fuck. You guys call it the Arsenal.
They were called the Arsenal. I can go into it for you,
here we go. The arrogance of the club gone.
No, they're literally called the Arsenal Limited. It's the actual official name of the club. It is. Look it up, mate.
The Arsenal Gunning Services Limited.
No, but they actually, it's one of them where you think, well, we've drawn against Brentford, drawn against Everton. Are you going to have like that come down after the midweek performance? And he actually put quite a strong side out. I was thinking, what's he playing Rice for? What's he playing Saka for? But Saka needs minutes. Although, you know, he played really well since he's been back. He still hasn't played a full game. It was his first Prem start. So, and he run them ragged, to be honest, Saka. Rice was, again, he just struts about the pitch like he owns it. And it's not even in an arrogant way. He just looks, he makes world-class players look average. Like, you've got great players in the Arsenal team, and some of them, even when they perform well, you think, fucking hell, he's another level. It's just amazing how good he is. When he's really hit top form at the right time. He's not been mustered all season. He started a bit slow. I think it was a bit of a hangover from the Euros and last season. But he's coming to form at the right time.
It's just a poor man's Thomas Souček, mate. I don't know what you're talking about.
He learned everything from Souček, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, Odegaard, he actually looked half decent, and he's been out of form. And one thing I would say is a bit, well, it's not, I don't think it's any coincidence that he's had one of his best games when he's played with Ben White and Saka together. All that sort of triumvirate on the right hand side, playing together. And he's not had them all season, and he's looked poor for it. So sometimes I think you need that they have them relationships with certain players. And not that Timber's been bad, or not that, you know, anyone who's played on the right's been bad, but Odegaard's obviously got a very good understanding with Ben White and Saka, and he played well. Marino was excellent. Trossard was excellent, and they just put in a professional performance. And the game was pretty much over before it started, really, which. And it was good to see the results went our way, because you were starting to think, look, we're in a bit of a lull in the league. We're just drawing. Liverpool have won it. You know, let's focus on the Champions League. So to put in a good performance, you think, you know, Newcastle could have possibly been 4 points behind. If we'd lost and they'd won, it would have been even closer. But they lost and we won. So it's give us a little bit of breathing room with a few games left. So. Hopefully we can just secure seconds. You know, it's not been a terrible season, but we hoped for more. But, you know, it still could be a great season, but that remains to be seen. But it was just good to see a good professional performance and nothing lacklustre.
It was good to see Leif Davis try to murder Saka at some point.
Honestly. Do you know what? Ipswich, mate. I said it was the last time I was on, wasn't it? I think it was Brentford. These fucking small clubs with their shit fucking chance. Oh, same old Arsenal. Oh, well, change it. Hey, you fucking kicked our player. You've booted him up in the air, trying to break his fucking leg, and then you boo him because your geezer's a cheating cunt. Fuck you. They all get relegated.
I can't believe that was the first cunt of the podcast.
Yeah, done well. Considering it's a team podcast, and it's been 54 minutes. Done well.
Honestly, I don't know if you saw the replays. There was a geezer in the crowd, four-eyed bastard, you know, long hair. Who'd have 4 eyes and long hair, right? And he's cheering and celebrating. Not me. He was cheering and celebrating and going and goading, like saying, like, Saka had died. Any other day, he starts snapping his Achilles. You know, he's just been out for 4 months, and it's a nothing challenge. Like he was nowhere near the ball. The geezer's in his own half. There's no danger, and he's just gone straight through the back of him. And even when he walked off the pitch, you know, he's like, he's literally going, sorry, I fucked up, we're 2-0 down, and now we're 10 men down. And they're applauding him, and they should be fucking booing him.
Yeah,
they'll boo Saka instead, because
I
Saka's
don't like that.
Had the audacity to be fouled, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I never understood that in football, especially for English players in the English game. Don't get wrong, fouling a player, you know, is always good. But I'm talking about like a dirty challenge is different. A dirty challenge versus a normal foul on a player where you're like nowhere near the ball and you've gone straight on his Achilles and stuff like that, where he could be out for a year with that sort of injury. Yeah.
I mean, there was one replay where it showed it and you really saw how his ankle and his foot sort of twisted where he got him. And, you know, you think to yourself, like you say, exactly, he's a star player for England. You know, you'll be cheering him on in the next tournament, but now exactly. You're happy for him to have his leg broken, or you know, possibly because you're fucking getting relegated.
Exactly that. You know, you don't, like players get injured throughout the season. Fair enough, those things happen. But like, I never want to cheer on a dirty challenge because it's disgusting.
He had the ump, that Leif Davis. He when we scored the second goal, it was right after he scored the second goal when he done that to Saka. When we scored the second goal, he got mugged off by Trossard and he had a little nibble at him, lost it, and then as he was walking off, he done him down the back of the legs as well. So when we scored that goal, Trossard was just in the centre of the pitch in a heap and he was moaning after. And he done it. And I think at that point, say, they were getting dominated. And I think it was after about 10, 12 minutes they put the stat up. We'd had 95% possession. You think, well, what, after 12 minutes? Like, Jesus Christ, you basically not even touched the ball pretty much.
There's all them dark arts and cheating.
Yeah, dark arts.
Well, that's how you stay fit, isn't it? That's how you stay fit for, other than the teams failing you like that, but that's literally how you keep your fitness up for the other games, is that your possession, because they're chasing the game.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair,
stay fit for the next game.
Of the three teams that are down there that are going to go down, Ipswich were probably the least equipped to stay up. You'd say Leicester have got a bit of, you know, know-how and a bit of history on their side. Southampton have been up and down team, but they've got, you know, at least some experience. Whereas Ipswich haven't had over the last few years, and they've come up quickly. You know, 2 years ago they're in League One, and then all of a sudden they're in the Prem. You think it's going to be hard for them, but they've been the better of the three teams.
Yeah, I think so. Their manager as well is quality.
Yeah, I think he'll go far, McKenna, to be honest. But there was an element of naivety on their part, I think. But again, they're in a situation. You know, he's pretty much said the last few weeks that we know we're going to go down. We're not going to catch. We're not down, but we're not going to stay up. And they know it. So you just hope that that doesn't mean they're going to go around fucking kicking people up in the air for no good reason. So it was a disappointing challenge, really, to see. But I think he's all right. But yeah, other than that, that was the only real sort of shit thing in the game. So we played well. Quite glad that we didn't just sit at 2-0 and settle for that. We did push on. 4-0 away from home, you can't sniff it, even if it is against a team that's probably going to go down. You've got to do the job. So, and like I say, if we'd had a performance like Everton, like Brentford, to be fair, we did enough to win. Well, we didn't do enough, but we played well enough to win those games and should have won them. Gave away a couple of scrappy goals. This game, they were well on it. Good performance, professional performance, and job done. They needed to do it. And it'll be really disappointing if we don't finish second at least now. You know, the league's gone, but after the season, if they end up finishing third because they're pushing for the Champions League, and then they say if they didn't win that, it would be we never hit the fucking end of it. So,
if you did finish, I think I asked Clive a similar question, but say you finished fourth and you didn't win the Champions League, that's an utter failure of a season, isn't it? At that point,
well, I mean, it would it would be disappointing, but you, if it happened, you could, it would be worth the risk. Like if you said, right, you're going to drop these points, but it's going to maximise your chance to win the Champions League, you got to go for it. Because at this point, you know that fifth's going to get you in the Champions League.
Yeah, that's fair.
It would just be for the sort of optics of it, I think, where, you know, because they've challenged for the last 2 years and they've been the only challenger really to Liverpool, and even that's not been the greatest challenge this year, just far too many draws. We've only lost one more game than Liverpool, which is too many draws.
Too many sending offs at the start of the season.
Too many dodgy ref decisions, I tell you.
Too many injuries.
Stop kicking the fucking ball. Playing against cold players all season.
Yeah. 13 with the fucking Divi UA fans.
Oh, God. They're definitely going to have to get that one out. Shit. Yeah,
I've done it again.
Yeah.
Mike. I apologise in advance.
Yeah, probably going to have to tear that one. It beats the casual racism. Which was just an observation, by the way.
So we just start over.
And we're live.
Thanks, Tom. Any other thoughts on Arsenal at all, Tom, Luke, or anyone? Mitchell, I don't know why I missed you after.
Oh, I mean, you. I was going to ask about if you finished in third or fourth, but you answered that. You asked that question already.
I just think, from a perspective of every other fan would laugh at us. You finished third, you finished fourth, and you still didn't win the Champions League. You say, well, you know, what have you lost? You've lost £2 million and so a few people are going to take the piss. Well, so what? If we were going for the Champions League, you got to go for it. But the games we've got left, I think we should, in theory, have enough to secure it. And a lot of them teams that are in between sort of third and seventh, a few of them are playing each other as well. And they're sitting in the FA Cup, a couple of them. So, yeah, it would be disappointing on paper. If it's going to maximise your chance to win the Champions League, then, you know, go for it, I say.
Fair enough. Right then, finally, Chelsea. Big North London derby. It's not North London, is it? It's a fuck football and fuck locations.
So I thought you were just being like doing a good joke there, Bob.
Edit that bit out then, Mike. Well, just being thick.
It was a lovely bit of sarcasm there. No, North London derby.
Shut up, the lawyer. It would have been a very different conversation if that game had ended in a draw. It did seem a bit like typical Chelsea. I mean, we didn't play bad. I'm going to sound like Spurs here. We didn't play bad. But the chances, up until the two goals, I think we had six shots on target. All of them, every single one of them, were just not very strong attempts straight at the goalkeeper. It was just shit. And the goal we conceded, I'm again going to echo, I think Bob and Luke both said this, the lackadaisical. Lackadaisiness of the players.
That's such a big word for me.
Annoying.
I think I said a good chug word.
Bring him back, honestly. Unfortunately, the player at fault was Reece James. And I had stuck up for Reece James last week, and I wanted him to be played in the right back position. He plays him in the right back position. He did have a good game until he came off in the second half, but he was at fault for the first goal. But it wasn't just him; it was all the players around him. It was just very, very slow. He's just sort of walking up the pitch, thinking he's got all the time in the world with the ball, and there's no players around him. Then two players are around him. He gets tackled. And the minute you lose the ball and the play switches, right, you fucking put the pressure on everyone. The back four, you get in fucking shape, and you go and put pressure on the person who's won the ball back. Nothing. There was none. There was a little bit of jogging, and then I think it was Cessignon, I can't remember who it was now. Got the ball, and it was too easy. He had all the time in the world to line up his shot, take his shot. It was a nice goal, but he had so much time. He had so much time to figure that one out. The defence was shocking. But that was really it from Fulham. They had no other chances, no real threat after that. The game carried on as it was before. We were the better team. We managed to get the goal in the end because I can't believe I'm going to eat my words again, but I'd been sticking up for Jackson last week.
Here we go.
God, no, I want to like him. I really want to like him. I do. He had a poor game. He had a very poor game. He's not making any runs. He wasn't really making a nuisance of himself. And the few times he did run into the box with the ball, he just does really odd decisions, really weak attempts at trying to get the ball into the box and just giving it to the Fulham defenders. It was poor. So it was nice that Maresca's seen that and he's made these changes, which did change it in the second half. And the sub that he brought on, Tyreek George, who also scored against Warsaw in the week.
Is he English?
He is. And he's...
Just observation.
And it was an instinctive goal. It was beautiful. He got the ball and he spanked it. And it was a beautiful strike. That's what I want to see Jackson do. Let's give Tyreek George some fucking minutes. Let's see what he does for the rest of the season. Or play them both, because they both got different qualities. Isn't it? Just change up the fucking system. But it was still a bit, you know, iffy after that. You think this game can't end 1-1. I mean, it just can't happen. How tight all those positions are at the moment, trying to get in the top six. A draw would not have been good enough. And Neto, thank fucking God.
It was a good finish.
Another turn and spank. And that's what you need. Just fucking hit the ball hard. Get it in the back of the fucking net. None of this soft curling shots that look nice in slow motion, just straight to the keeper's hands. Fucking spank it. Get in the back of the net.
The thing is, they didn't get tight enough for that. If they got a little bit tighter to him, he wouldn't have been able to score, because he was like, was he in the box or just outside? I thought he's in the box. I can see it now. Yeah, they didn't get there quick enough, but he did put his foot through it.
He turned very well. He turned very quick. He did.
I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying, like, with the sort of teams that you're playing against normally would be a bit tighter in the Premier League.
But
to be able to do that sort of shot is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, a 1-1 draw in this instance, there'd have been so much pressure on Maresca after. It was nice when Neto did score that goal. I mean, they really did celebrate. And then when the whistle went, I mean, you know, people do mock it. Oh, it's like they've just won the fucking cup or something. Blah, 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 blah. It was nice. I wanted to see that. I want the fucking players to be shouting and screaming.
I don't think anyone should mock that. I think it's absolute bullshit. Just a bugbear of mine when people, you know, fucking celebrate every goal.
Too right. And
every win.
A bit of fucking passion.
What's the fucking point of doing it if you ain't going to fucking enjoy it?
Exactly. A bit of passion. And you know that it means so much because you are still trying to get a Champions League position. You're trying to salvage that great start to the season and a poor middle and end to the season, but you can still get something out of it. So that bit of passion at the end was nice to see. And it's taken the pressure off of Maresca a little bit. I'm still trying to figure out what Chelsea would do if it all does go tits up. So, I mean, you look at the positions right now. So you've got, I'll include Nottingham Forest. City.
Well, they aren't third.
Yeah.
Well, they're now fourth. City are winning 1-0.
They're drawing 1-1.
Oh, are they? Fucking hell. How about that? So you've got Forest, Newcastle, Chelsea, Villa. It's all 2-point split in it, isn't it? 2-3 point split in it. It's ridiculous. And you can't even rule out. I mean, if Fulham had beaten us, they'd have been
two points behind us. Yeah, yeah.
So it's so tight at the moment.
I think you can rule Fulham out.
I don't think you can.
No, I do. I think
you can now, but if they beat Chelsea, they'd be.
I know. They would have been on what 51. I don't see. Depending on the fixtures of Villa, City.
Well, and this Chelsea, this is the just, thing.
Yeah.
All the teams vying for these top six at the moment. Chelsea have got the hardest run.
Yeah, they have.
And it's. Well, I mean, hopefully when we play Liverpool, it probably will be. The season will be over for them. Hopefully they won't turn up. They won't give a fuck. But Newcastle is going to be a tough game because we are right on them. And I think, have we got Villa as well? Have a look.
Chelsea, I've got.
Not Villa. We got Nottingham Forest.
Everton. You've got Everton, Liverpool, Newcastle, Man United. And Forest
in that last game of the season.
I ain't have too bad.
Liverpool probably would have won the league by the time you played.
Well, that's what I'm hoping.
Oh, I mean, fucking hell. Yeah, but still. No, Liverpool at home, sorry.
But Newcastle and Forest away. Yeah, and we're all fighting for those same positions right now. That's tough. So, Maresca needed this result this week.
Do you think, Mitch, if... I know you've said it most of the season, if you come sixth... You'd be like, yeah, okay, we come sixth and we win the silly Farmer Cup.
Prestigious.
Okay, if you come seventh, and do you think it's not good enough? Because you could, in theory, finish seventh and only be like a point behind third. Do you know what I mean? That's how tight it is. Do you think the context has got to come into it?
Yeah, but it's. I mean, that is our own fault though, because we've been so poor. Second half of this season.
You shouldn't have let it get quite far ahead of everyone else, wouldn't you? Mm.
Well, at one stage, we were the closest to fucking Liverpool. But we just completely capitulated, just dropped off. It's players Christmas, lost form.
It's at Turkey.
Yeah, lop of Turkey.
Lop of Turkey.
I think... What is seventh now? Is that the Farmers' Cup?
Seventh.
Depends what happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, it depends, yeah. Seventh might get you Europa because it depends who wins the FA Cup.
I think seventh and Europa, and he wins the Farmers' Cup, he's fine. Sixth, he's fine. But you don't win the Farmers' Cup and you're looking at eighth and ninth, I think Chelsea will get rid of him.
To be honest, I think if you come fifth and you don't win the Farmers' Cup, you should get rid of him.
No.
You don't win that shit trophy, honestly, it'll be a shambles. There's the teams left in that have been in it from the start. Chelsea.
Yeah, we should.
Chelsea women could win that fucking trophy.
We absolutely should.
Tom, I don't want to talk about this cup anymore, but it is a prestigious cup.
When
you won it, it was prestigious. At least you had teams dropped down from the higher league and you had to deal with. They've got no one. Yeah, no one even drops down anymore. They're just stuck with fucking, he couldn't even pronounce without playing the other day.
If Chelsea win it, though, then they get European spot anyway.
If they win it, you just go to the next tournament. So you would go to Europa.
So it doesn't matter. Even if they finish seventh and they're out of the cutoff, they'll be in it next season anyway. So I think it'd be an interesting one. I think that they're still overachieved. This season, considering what people were expecting from Chelsea,
considering they came sixth last year, I think if Chelsea don't finish at least sixth, I don't think you could say they've overachieved the amount of money they've spent.
If they won a cup, they weren't expecting.
It's not overachieving if we finish seventh. I think top six
are young,
though.
They are young.
There's no leader. There's no voice.
Fucking bollocks.
Yeah, young. Do need a bit of an old voice in there. Seventh is underperforming for the season. Top six is where you want us. That's what we were going for. Fourth in Champions League would have been overachieving. So swings and roundabouts, he's probably looking where he should have been at this point before the start of the season. It's just he had such a good fucking opening half. they shot themselves in the foot. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, who are you blaming? Are you blaming the players? Are you blaming the poor performances from the Palmers and the Jacksons? But yeah, you're blaming Bowley. Fucking
Michael Jackson.
People he decides to... Jackson.
You're blaming Michael Jackson for fucking hell.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Blaming for a lot of things, but let's not go into that.
He's probably on he's probably on the book somewhere. We've got him on loan. So we are probably where we should be. But it's just not been very convincing the second half. I would quite like to see him maybe start giving Tyreek George some more minutes in the Premier League and see what happens.
Where does he play? What position?
He plays up front.
So he should drop Cole Palmer?
He come on for Jackson. and it's maybe he'll bring out more of Palmer. Maybe Palmer will get the balls into Tyreek George.
Yeah, weren't you complaining that you needed Jackson when he
was injured? This is what I said. I was like, of the two players that I picked up last week, Jackson and Reece James, both kind of fucking dropped eggs on my face this week. But
I feel like those players, though, they're just average players. Like, they're good players, don't get me wrong. But like, if we're talking...
Well, they're good or they're average?
Well, probably both, to be fair, depending on the week. Yeah. But I feel like they're the sort of players that are going to get... Jackson's going to get, what, 12 goals a season? Maybe 5-6 assists? And then that's it.
Is that good enough for your main striker, though, if you are vying for top four?
This is what I'm getting at, though, Mitchell. This is what I'm getting at, like, for yourselves. Like, you, even the other player you mentioned just a minute ago, like, is he going to get you 15, 20 goals a season? I mean, this is it now. I think this is what takes you over that line. You know, we had Harry Kane carrying us for seasons because he was banging in 25 goals a season. You know, sometimes 30. Like, those goals were crucial goals that we needed in his hold-up play. You know, Arsenal, they keep saying that they need a striker to get them over that edge, to get them in the league. Imagine if they get that striker that they really, really want, and then they go and do it at Chelsea. You know, you played a false nine for God knows how long, and you didn't get over the line. You had, like, Drogba, and you got over the line. I just feel like teams that sometimes have a striker, like, we've got Solanke. Like, I think he's a good striker. But I don't think he's good enough to get us over that line, to get us in top four. I don't think he's a top four striker.
It's not good enough to get you in top half.
Fucking, that's the whole team, mate. That's the whole team at this point. But that's what I'm getting at. Like, it's the same for West Ham. You know,
I think it's the same for a lot of teams.
It is the same for a lot of teams. And that's why you have the players around you that get you over that line. That like you've got the Cole Palmers, he was your top goal scorer. They're the sort of players. Like, Arsenal have got
Odegaard, three 16. Assists
and stuff. Martinelli banging in goals, Saka banging in goals. For Tottenham, we had Brennan Johnson, our top goal scorer. On the left, we had Son. Obviously, he's quite down on the goals, but even though we're still the third highest scoring team, but obviously there's a leak at the back for us. But what I'm getting at is for other teams, to get you over that line that are competing in the top four, look, they've got Salah at Liverpool banging them in, but they're banging goals all round. Not in the Forest, Chris Wood is banged in like 20 odd goals, I think. That's what you're missing, and that's what these teams are missing, like Chelsea. You've got Nicholas Jackson.
Where'd you get him from?
Well, this is you've got so much money.
Doesn't buy you goals.
No, it doesn't. This is why
people bring up, you know, Chelsea spending the billions and everything else, but it literally does not buy you goals. You can buy names and slap them in there and hope for the best, but if they're not out and out goal scorers, if it don't fit in the system, or if it's not working with the players around you, something's not gelling. It just doesn't work. No amount of money that you throw is going to change that.
You're right, Mitch. And I was going to say this earlier, not as a dig at Tottenham or anything, but it was when you were talking about Richarlison, and you think you bought him as a striker, and you bought him for about what, 60 million?
No, we didn't. I don't think we bought him as a striker. I think we bought him for a left winger.
He played up front. He played
You bought
Richarlison for 60 million. You bought Solanke for 60, 65.
Yep.
And you think, is that a thing of, well, we've got to go out and spend a shitload of money on a striker, especially considering we've lost Harry Kane. And one, there's literally a dearth of top strikers available, like Mitch says. And because of that reason, anyone who you can get, you have to overpay for. Arsenal paid 65 for Havertz, and everyone took the fucking piss out of us relentlessly. And he's actually not worked out half bad. And then you think, well, how much did Chelsea pay for Jackson? 40? Something like that? Is it that much?
I don't even have to.
But you look at Man United, how much they pay for Hoyland? Like 75 million?
I'm into it.
You know, and still the top strikers in Europe are like well into their 30s. Kane, Lewandowski. You know, there's not a lot out there.
No,
so
not.
To pay a lot of money for a striker, you know, West Ham have bought Haller, Fulkrug, Scamacca, whatever his name was, they paid over 30 million for all these players, you know, and the two of them ain't there no more, but they still have obviously gone back to Italy or Germany or wherever and scored goals again, but not prolific really, and not being able to do it at the top level in the Premier League. I mean, look at Brighton, fucking Danny Welbeck's banging their goals in, he's 35, 36, and they got him for peanuts, you know what I mean? And say like Chris Wood, he couldn't cut the mustard at Newcastle apparently, and he's been revolutionised at Forest. Isak, 60 million seems like a bargain for him.
Oh yeah,
what they paid. But there's just a, that's what they keep saying about Arsenal. Go and buy a striker. Who the fuck do you buy? And if anyone's is half decent, they want 100 million.
That's crazy.
I mean, and this, this is every club. No, nobody wants to be in the 90s and stuff. Everybody that played football wanted to be a fucking striker, right? I don't think it's like that anymore. These kids that because of the way that teams play and fucking Pep Guardiola and the way he's played, people are much happier playing in those midfield kind of positions. I don't think that there's enough appetite for it anymore. Probably
you've got to be a really good all-round player to be a top striker these days. You've got to have that lethal element to you, which you would probably say someone like Jackson hasn't got. He's not lethal, but he's more of a athletic, gets into the right positions. But then, like you say, Mitch, so when he gets into the positions, he sort of fucking panics or thinks he's on his wrong foot and, you know,
yeah, trips up. Winger.
Something like he's a different sort of player. Havertz is a weird sort of midfield running power horse hybrid. What he is really, but he seems to work up front for Arsenal to a certain extent. Even West Ham, you know, you've been trying to have a proper out and out striker for like the last 5 years, and all you keep doing is reverting to fucking Antonio.
Yeah,
because he's got this bit about him that he can do it in the Premier League. He's not prolific, but he's enough for West Ham, or has been over the last sort of 10 years or so, because they're not there.
That's the problem. This is the thing, right? And then it's like, well, do you stick with them, like the Jackson, for example, and hope that under, in this case, Maresca, that he becomes someone like a Chris Wood story next season? Because no one see that coming. So, you know, do you stick with him, try and develop it and try and get him right when he's in the final third, his decision making, or do you go out and try and find the 100 million striker?
I don't think you can. I think what you've got to go out and find is a 15 million pound striker who no one's heard of or who's possibly got a bit of potential. I think you're literally wasting your time going out and spending 100 million on a striker.
I'll tell you exactly what Chelsea will do.
They'll go out and spend 100 million on a striker.
No, they'll keep Jackson and sack Maresca. That's what they'll do. Guarantee it.
Well, yeah. If we slip out of the top seven and don't win the Farmers Cup,
probably get rid of him anyway. No new lot.
Yes, the Chelsea way.
Any other thoughts on Chelsea?
Fuck Chelsea.
I love that you can get involved in that, Mitch.
He's coming, yeah. Can't wait to join him.
Right.
Did you happy with the Warsaw performance, Mitch?
Oh, here we go. Just as I'm about to fucking segue, he always fucking does it now.
I've got to stay on for as long as possible. Who knows when I'll be back?
Yeah, I mean, happy's not the right word, is it? I mean, the job was done.
You lost
over
home,
two legs. Yeah, but we've lost so many games at home this season.
That's what it was done. But did he put a weakened side out? But your main side in that competition is a weak side, isn't it? Really?
I mean, well, yeah, but like we said, even the B team should be beating any team in that league.
Yeah,
in that cup. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they were just thinking it's done. And let's just take it easy.
Are you going next round?
Oh, don't ask me to pronounce them. Fucking hell. It begins with a D, I know that much.
Jugarden.
Jugarden.
I think they're from Belgium, aren't they? Sweden.
Close enough.
Yeah.
In Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be funny if you lost that, to be fair, but I don't think it will happen.
I'm not saying anything.
Right, segue, Bob, segue.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry, Tom, I forgot you was running the show tonight. I've got a few more questions about Chelsea, actually.
Fucking hell, they're an older club than Chelsea.
Who? The Swiss one? What?
Hello. Jurgen Gardens.
Of course they are. She's fucking only born in 2000, wasn't
they? Shut up.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That famous Russian club, Chelsea.
Yeah.
Right. Man versus AI. Man
versus AI. Ooh.
Do it, mate.
Oh, I've forgotten how it goes. Boop, 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 boop.
Okay. Right. I'm winging this a little bit because I don't know why, really. I listened to the podcast earlier and got our predictions. So that's the kind of work ethic that I put into today's podcast.
So that's great, mate.
Just what you think West Ham should be putting in.
Exactly, yeah. I'd be sprinting down the line if I could sprint. Right. So, games during the week. So, do we do the predictions first? We do, don't we? We give the results first and then move on to our predictions, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm glad you're here, Tom. Chelsea against Fulham. Mitchell predicted 2-2.
They get fucked.
And got 0. Mitchell predicted 2-1 and got 3 points. Well done, Mitchell.
You bastard.
Have a cheer, please, Mike. And AI predicted 1-1, so got 0 points. So
did
Mitchell,
it?
You're actually the hero of the hour this week because you actually
AI
got
went
some 2-1. Points.
How about that?
Yeah, no, they went 1-1. Luke predicted.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Don't even go.
Spurs 2, Forest 0, and got 0 points. AI predicted Spurs 1, Forest 1, and also got 0 points. So no loss there, Luke. West Ham versus Southampton. Bob predicted 2-1 West Ham. Fucking idiot. And AI predicted 2-1 West Ham. So we both got 0 points.
What idiots. You were playing Southampton. Who would predict a 2-1 win against them?
I know, right? Fucking great team. And Arsenal against... Who the fuck did Arsenal play again? Oh, Ipswich. Kai predicted 2-1 Arsenal, and so did AI, and they both got 1 point. So if I had the league table in front of me, I would tell you what the current standings are.
I think I can remember it.
Well, you've got 3 more points than last week.
Yeah, so yeah. I think I was on 20, so I'm now on 23. Clive was on 20, so he's now on 21. And I think you were on 18. Yeah. We don't talk about it, Luke. He's so far away.
Still double digits, aren't I? That's all that matters.
Yeah, he made it.
You will be wearing an Arsenal shirt, though, mate. You need to start doing this shit.
I'm wearing an Arsenal shirt.
I live around the corner from Luke, and when he goes to the boots out, I'm going to pounce on him and put it on him.
So this week's predictions, then. So Clive already predicted for Arsenal versus Crystal Palace, but I think that's the reason why he didn't turn up today, to be fair. I think he just thought, I've got nothing to talk about. So, Tom, I'll give you this prediction. Arsenal against Palace, what are you going with?
2-0 to the Arsenal.
Oh, it sends shivers down my spine every time you say it. Right. 2-0 Arsenal, Tom. Right, so that's the game tomorrow. You're not playing at the weekend, are you? You're not playing till May now?
Because they're playing in the FA Cup, that's in the semi-final, that's why this game's on Wednesday.
Makes sense.
And I hope that they are, all their eggs are in the FA Cup basket and we get a nice 2-0 win.
Nice.
And they don't
want to. Topical as it's Easter as well. Yeah. You mentioned eggs. Yeah. Like that. Mitchell, Chelsea against Everton.
Hello, mate. I think I'm going to go for a cheeky 1-0 to Chelsea.
0 Chelsea. Bob, Brighton versus West Ham. I'm going to go 3-1 Brighton. West Ham.
That's how you do it, Luke. That's how you do it.
That is how you do it, Luke.
Head, not heart.
Talking of sensible, Luke, you've got Liverpool at Anfield. What are you going with?
Oh, dear.
In their game to win the title.
Yeah.
Oh, Tottenham will give it to them, won't they, just to annoy Arsenal?
Yeah.
Is he going to predict the first loss?
I'm going to go 1-1.
Fuck yeah.
He's a lunatic. Okay, cool. AI's predictions. We've already done the Arsenal Nottingham Forest prediction, which I can't remember what it was last week. We won't deal with that one. Liverpool versus Spurs.
I mean, we're going to get beat. I know that for a fact, but I'm still pushing.
Fucking idiot.
Well, AI predicted Liverpool to win 3-1. Liverpool on the cusp of clinching the Premier League title and have a strong home record, winning their last six matches at Anfield. Tottenham face a tough challenge and are shit. Brighton versus West Ham. Both teams are experiencing challenges, with Brighton on a six-game winless streak. Oh, that, wait, they predicted 1-1, which is ludicrous. West Ham struggling near the relegation zone, and again, oh shit.
Yeah.
Chelsea versus Everton. AI predicts Chelsea 2, Everton 0. Chelsea are favoured to secure a home victory, with predictions leading towards a 2-0 scoreline. That's as far as I'm going with that.
Good, great.
And that's, that's about it for this week, unless anyone's got anything that they want to talk about.
It's quite a long one. Hey!
I suppose the final message is thank you, Tom, for stepping in for Samosa Ace. It's been a pleasure as always. And he's muted, so he's mugging me off. So
I was going to say, I wonder if he knows he's muted.
I am fucking muted, aren't I? Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that was
always a pleasure, boys. Thank you, and always a pleasure.
Thanks, Tom.
And thanks, everyone else. And Mitchell, you can end the recording.
All right. Luke, final comment?
I haven't got one, mate.